as I watched this baby boy.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Jesus Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Plus, you have to have the time to do it. Pastor Tom says it's time for us to talk serious.
For us to get on the air and talk serious.
We were talking Christmas here a little bit because Vince Rizzino, CPA, forensic CPA, is sitting here along with Alan Love, guest attorney, guest retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, and I am Joe Martech, financial advisor. And we were just doing a little commiserating here about Christmas because I know Alan had my favorite dinner. He had turkey dinner.
Love it. Turkey?
I love turkey dinners. We didn't have that. But we had, and you were over with your two grandbabies.
Yes, and my daughter and my son, and we had the ham.
That's what we had. We had ham, but other stuff.
And other stuff, too, but, you know, for the most part, all the trimmings.
What'd you have, Tom?
I'm having the 12 days of ham.
Hey, I understand. Leftover ham, it just doesn't go away, does it?
Well, you know, you have ham salad. You have ham sandwiches.
Ham and eggs. Ham sandwiches, right?
Yeah.
My in-laws, my daughter's in-laws, the mother-in-law was born in Tahiti, and she's French.
Oh.
And I mean, she's got that magnificent French accent. And she is one of these people that complains about entertaining, but loves every minute when she's got 100 people around and she cooks and serves. And she's 86 years old, won't slow down for a second, and everybody keeps warning her. But hey,
well, God bless her.
She's willing to die any minute, but not when she's serving and having company.
Right. Well, listen.
So what they do over there, which is kind of neat, a small turnout for Christmas Eve is roughly 25 people. A big one is 40. This was a small one with around 25. Okay. Because she'll have guests from France that are world travelers that come by because some of them don't speak very good English, and they got somebody they can communicate with.
Right.
And her husband, who is my daughter's father-in-law, the name is O'Neill.
O'Neill, that's
very
got
French,
a long
very
history,
French
yeah.
name, right? And so his father was Irish and his mother was French. So the kids, meaning my mother-in-law, my daughter's mother-in-law and father-in-law speak fluent French, bilingual. The two sons they have are totally bilingual. And I've wished and hoped that it would rub off on my grandkids.
Okay.
So that they would be bilingual, you know, but it just didn't work out for some reason.
That's too bad because you shortchange them, and then they rely on the schools to teach them. And I don't know about you, but I took 5 years of Spanish, and I barely can put a sentence together.
Cerveza, por favor?
Yes, cerveza, por favor. That's exactly right.
Not a whole. Wait a minute. Baño. Baño.
Gracias. Baño. Gracias and de nada.
Gracias and de nada.
That's it.
Sounds like they didn't learn you nothing.
No.
We ain't been learned.
Well, that wasn't one of my favorite subjects was language in school. I really didn't
see it. You did too. No, you didn't go to Catholic school. Did
no.
You?
No.
Went to see, I had school. To have 2 years of Latin.
Wow.
Which is, you know, that was brilliant. And 2 years of French. Wow. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
I think so much for that.
Bonjour. But I'm thinking about the commercial.
I know bonjour. That's the reason I did it. But you got to say it in dialect. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
But I also, pourquoi?
Oh, pourquoi?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was in France for.
Told you I could pick up words. I just can't put them together.
No, it's tough. It's tough. But it was what a beautiful language French is, though. When you hear people, like in New Orleans, Tom, they got a street called Decatur.
Yes.
And there's a Decatur in almost every state. But in French, it's Decatur.
Oh, it is Decatur.
Huh? I'm telling you what. Mm-hmm. Just give me a choice, Decatur or Decatur, you know.
Well, all these so-called Romance languages, they're very similar.
Yeah.
Italian, Spanish.
It's like in Georgia, there's a city, they call it Lafayette.
Call it what?
Lafayette. Lafayette. Really? It's not Lafayette? It's
well,
Lafayette?
Well, they didn't learn them no French.
Oh, so it's Lafayette.
Lafayette. Okay. It's Detroit instead of Detroit.
That's right.
Illinois.
Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of French
words in this
French cities and stuff, you know, where they pronounce them correctly. Chevrolet.
Who calls it a Chevrolet?
Well, me, I just did, you know. Hey,
Even in French, it's Chevrolet, isn't it?
Well, of course it is Chevrolet, but in my neighborhood, you know, rednecks say, you can't spell, boy. It's a T on the end of there.
Oh, boy.
1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. Write that number down, Joe Martek, financial advisor. And we have Alan Love, guest attorney, Vince Rosino, CPA, and not only that, a forensic CPA sitting here today. We're willing to help any way we can. I've had some wonderful compliments this week, unsolicited, where people called up and said they listened to the show and they really, really appreciate the help that we give.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just very gratifying. And I had two of them, I said, you know, it's probably better for me than it is for you to do this. Because when you have our group with a roughly 200 years worth of combined experience, there's a lot of things we can help people with.
Absolutely. It's that, yeah, exactly. And you got so many different expertise here. You know, you've got everything.
And I wasn't even counting Alan's 300 years alone.
Oh. Oh, that hurts.
Did I divide by two and add three?
No. As long as you're talking about math, why don't we talk a little bit about the new tax bill that has passed?
Well, that was really good. That's a good lead-in.
He's very good.
As a matter of fact, we haven't mentioned something, but I found out just a couple of days ago that being over 65 years old, I got a little bonus because we've been talking about the standard deduction doubling to $12,400. But I understand that people over 65 or people who are blind will get an extra $1,300. Is that correct, Vince?
Well, that's my understanding, yes. And that's the way it is right now.
And is that over the standard deduction?
Yes, that is the standard deduction. Because standard deduction for a normal single person was $6,300. Let's say it was that for 16.
Okay.
And for someone over 65, it was $7,500. So it was, you know, a little over almost $1,300, $7,600, and so you were automatically getting an extra half an exemption or quarter of an exemption.
No, is that for federal tax?
Federal tax, yeah.
But don't they also, Alan? And forgive me, I'm not up on this one, but property taxes in the state of Florida, they also give you a break for having a disability or being old or something or other.
Yes, they do.
It does indirectly for taxes.
But it's not this tax. It's not this tax bill that just passed.
No. That's something each municipality does. They do it for veterans. You get a veterans benefit. You get a disability benefit for taxes. So you go to your county and they can tell you more about it. Or go up to the county website and they can tell you.
Now, in Florida, this new tax act sounds like a really good gift for Floridians.
I think for the most part, and most of my clients, Floridians don't itemize in the first place,
right?
Because you know, even a married couple, $12,600 is the standard deduction. Not many people have that much in itemized deductions.
I'm talking about
charitable giving or interest on your mortgages or property taxes,
medical.
Most of them fall well short of the standard, so they've been taking the standard deduction. Now, for those people, they're going to benefit because now the standard is doubled, right? They went from 12.6 to double, not quite double, because it goes to 24,000. So it's really not quite double, almost double.
Now, that's per person.
That's a married couple filing jointly.
Now, if you're single,
$6,300 is the standard for a single person.
Now it's gone to 12.
Unless you were over 65, and then you got that extra bump.
Right. Okay.
So that's going to 12,000 under the new law. Plus, plus the extra
$1,300 or something.
The extra $1,300. So you're going to get that for those. Let's just say married filing jointly. Let's just use that as an example. whereas you would take, you couldn't reach your standard from itemizing. They took the standard. Well, now they're getting almost double the standard. So right, it goes from 12.6 to 24.
That's going to save people quite a bit of taxes.
Except, Pastor, there's one exception to this, and where they're giving, they're taking some as well. They're taking exemptions off the table. So, for personal example, but you had two deductions generally. There's a standard deduction, and then there's something called a personal exemption. So the combined is what you got to take off your income. You had a standard deduction of 12.6 if you're a married couple, and you got a personal exemption of $4,200 per person. So that was $8,400. So you got 84 plus 12. You got a little over 20,000. Yeah. Now you're going to get 24, period. Because you don't get the exemption anymore. So it still benefits you by about 4,000 if you're a married couple.
Right.
About four, because you're getting 20. Yeah, if you're losing, you know, you're gaining on the standard 12. Mm-hmm. You go from 12 to 24. But then you're losing the 8,400.
Now, what if you're a married couple with, say, two children?
Well, that's a different story. If you're a married couple, you get some other benefit, and the other benefit comes in the child credit.
Okay.
The child credit heretofore was about $1,400 a year, and it had to be under 17 years of age to be eligible for that child credit. Now they're going to up it to $2,000 per child.
So you pick up an extra $600 per child.
But that's a credit. That's worth a lot more money on the deduction.
Not a deduction.
This is not a deduction. It's a credit. It's a dollar for dollar credit.
So if you owe $2,000, you take that credit off, and then it's subtracted zero. Right from it. Yeah.
Right. And I believe, check this, but I believe that that's also going to be refundable, meaning you could get this credit even if you don't owe any tax money.
Well, last year or this year, let's say you're a single mother and you've got two or three kids and you're making $25,000 a year, you might pay very little in a tax. You'll pay Social Security and Medicare, but you might get back with the child credits.
Mm-hmm.
Checks literally for $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000.
That's going to increase. Whatever you were getting in the prior year, you'll get a little bit more.
Because I know that was Rubio was pushing that, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
To pick up that extra amount.
There's something also beneficial for parents with children. There's such a thing in the law called 529 plans. You know what they are.
Right.
Basically, they are provide for the accumulation of money for education.
Right.
Tax free, meaning the growth.
Right.
So if you put in $1,000 and you use it, say it's a newborn, you put $1,000 and it's worth $5,000, $6,000 by the time the kid goes to college, then that growth of $5,000, the one you put in plus five more earnings, the earnings of five would get tax exempt as long as you used it for educational purposes. Well, now they've expanded the program under the new law so that you didn't have to go to a college to use the money. Now they're going to allow you to use it for primary, basically, education.
Or trade school.
Trade schools or things like that. Only thing they left out of that formula is homeschooling. So they're not.
No homeschooling.
No homeschooling. You can use them. You can't use the money for homeschooling and be exempt for the tax on that growth.
1-888-221-8990. Anybody's got questions on this tax thing, now's not a bad time to ask them because it's still brand new. It still isn't. I mean, totally defined.
It's in law, but we haven't defined all of the...
Yeah.
There's so many interpretations of this law that have to be done by Congress. Not only Congress already did their job. Now it gets turned over to the IRS to have them interpret what the Congress intended and then put out regulations for
us. They probably only added another 30,000 pages, huh?
I don't know. It'd probably be at least another 20 or 30,000 pages.
Yeah.
And you can't fit it on...
That's to simplify things.
You got to kind of have to blow up the postcard.
Oh, yeah. The postcard's 100 feet by 80 feet, right? Fine print. Now, you know, it is what it is, and now we're going to live with it. And
well, the benefit's going to come, by the way. I have some news for you and for news for me, if it's true. I have it from two different sources that the pass-through income.
Right.
We're talking about people who have S-corps, people who have partnerships, sole proprietorships, pass-throughs. Well, actually, it's not technically a pass-through, but I believe it'll qualify people who do Schedule Cs. They don't have an entity. They just do their business as sole proprietors.
Right.
I believe it'll apply to them as well. But you can earn up to $317,000 on a gross basis. Your income.
Gross income. Okay.
And still get the 20% additional deduction on your pass-through income.
Now, pass-through would not be earned income. not commissions or fees, or could be?
It could be if you have it in an entity, you have it in an S corp or an LLC, okay. And that's the pass through. You know how the pass throughs work. They, as an entities, don't pay taxes.
Right.
Any earnings, I say net earnings from your Schedule C or Subchapter S or LLC, that passes through to you, and you pay the tax on your individual tax return.
See, they were talking they weren't going to do that for certain occupations, yours,
that's
mine,
right,
and a few others. You would have to be a C corp.
So, well, C corp would get the benefits of the corporate tax rate deduction.
Right.
The pass-throughs are subject to the individual taxes rates, whatever rate applies
whatever
to you individually. That's what you'd pay on that. But they exempted most, when I say exempted, they allowed up to 20% of the profits to be deducted again as an above-the-line deduction. So let's say you made $100,000 on the pass-through.
Right.
In theory, if your overall income, including the pass-through, is less than $317 on a married basis, then you get an extra 20% or $20,000 deduction on the net profit.
Well, that's substantial.
That is substantial. So that, and even if you're in a low bracket of 20%, think about a low bracket. You're in a 20% bracket.
Yeah, right.
You're still 20% of 20 grand. That's $4,000.
Yeah.
It's still worth a lot of money.
It's a lot of money in your pocket.
It's a lot of money in your pocket.
One, well, I'm glad, you know, that was news, because they were talking up until today.
Until up until last week, we weren't sure we were getting it. And I heard it from two different sources, two different interpretations.
Hey, that's good.
But now I got three sources, and two of which said we would get the deduction.
Yeah, because yesterday we were talking about that, and it was called, hey, I'm going to have to form a C corp now in order to pick it up. But now, hey, that's goody-goody. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and 90% of the people that are listening probably don't need to know that stuff, but quite honestly, if you're self-employed in any kind of endeavor, or you have a business, self-employed, same basic thing, this tax code might really make a monster difference.
I tell you what, it changed my assessment of the tax law change insofar as the so-called middle-class people are concerned.
Right.
Again, definition, we were talking about this before we got on the air.
Middle-class.
As to what middle-class means.
Right.
Because if you're living in a high-tax state like New York and
California.
New Jersey, California, Massachusetts, there to live a middle-class lifestyle, you have to earn a lot more money than you would have to earn, let's say, in a state like Florida that doesn't have a state income tax, or Texas or some other state. There you could earn less and have the same lifestyle, theoretically.
Yeah.
And sometimes better.
We don't have
to shovel up sunshine.
That's right. That's true.
Some of the perks, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
1-888-221-8990.
But thanks for that that question and that the comment.
Well, another thing I think we can talk a little bit is not only taxes are going to have an impact, but like opening up ANWR, the oil in Alaska, is going to have a significant impact on our energy situation in this country long term.
Yep.
It's going to be good for our security. It's going to be also good for our pocketbook. And I think we got a call, right?
No, not yet. I was just making sure the volume was turned
off.
Okay. We'll see.
Okay.
The thing that, in fact, I heard today, the first negative I've heard about oil production, and that is they're having problems drilling again because they can't get people to move back where they were drilling before, because when the recession hit and all of a sudden there was no demand for oil to speak of, then the price plummeted. Let me just take this call and we'll get back on that. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, good.
Very good.
Good
thank
day.
You.
I hope you're doing well, too, and Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
My name is Shirley, and I am a Massachusetts resident.
I'm sorry, you're what now?
A Mass resident.
Massachusetts?
Massachusetts?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. I'd call it Mass, too, if I lived there. Now
Mass taxes.
Mass taxes, right. It's called Taxachusetts, I think.
Taxachusetts, right. Question, as far as my property taxes are concerned, can those be deducted?
They can be deducted, and by the fact, your accountant would probably have alerted you that they're going to be capped beginning in 2018, meaning there's only going to be a maximum of 10,000 of such taxes that are going to be allowable under the law. Now, if you're retired, then you're probably not paying 10,000 in the property tax up there anyway, but who knows? I don't know what kind of house you have, but they're going to be capped. And so what we're recommending...
So I have rental property.
Oh no, it was not going to affect rental property.
Well, it's only your primary.
It's
own.
No, it's rental properties are a business entity in theory, according to the tax law. It's modeled after a business, so this is not going to affect businesses. So you'll be able to deduct 100% of all the property taxes you pay on the rental property,
and all the regular expenses
and all the other expenses that go along. But we're only talking about personal residences. Personal taxes will be capped. So in other words, your property taxes on a home that it's your personal residence in Massachusetts, or if you pay state taxes in Massachusetts, for example, if you work there and they deduct state taxes from your paycheck, or if you're paying estimated state taxes, they will be capped.
The total both.
But both will be capped.
So you're saying when I pay my estimated,
because
I pay estimated tax ahead.
Right. I would say accelerate your estimates. If you got a quarter due in January, I would suggest that you accelerate that into December. Pay it this week.
Instead of waiting until January 15th.
Correct. Unless the only exception to that, and I don't know your personal situation, but if you're in something called the AMT, which is the alternative minimum tax, it may not do you any good. If you're not in the, and you could tell by looking at your prior year tax return, and I don't know how savvy you are with that tax return, you might talk to your tax preparer or your accountant and look at whether you're in the AMT. If you were in the AMT in 2016, then prepaying your state taxes won't do you any good. If you're not in the AMT, then prepaying it would do you good. You'd get the deduction.
Okay, so better for my tax preparer.
Yes.
And you've only got a couple of days.
You've only got a couple of days to do it. This week, you'd have to do it. So you better call tomorrow or maybe before 5 today if they're around and call them.
I mean, tax preparers are getting a lot of calls right now about this because there's been a lot of publicity about prepaying property taxes now to get the credit based on this year's tax, right, Finn?
Yes, you'd be able to deduct it in 17 because in 18 it may not be deductible to you because you're capped. We still have issues as accountants as to how they're going to apply this $10,000, how much goes to property tax, how much is going to state income taxes, because all that has an effect on the tax liability.
Now let me.
What about interest on your mortgage?
Well, interest on the mortgages right now, you can deduct up to $1 million of principal. You can deduct the interest on up to $1 million of principal. It's going down to $750,000 in 2018. Which means if you have a mortgage in excess of $750,000, you will not be able to deduct the interest on the excess, only up to the $750,000 of principal.
I see. All right. Tell Tom, I think
he better
keep it going.
Okay, I missed that.
What do you want to do?
I said tell Tom, keep the ticker working.
Yeah, the old ticker's still working.
Yes, Tom says his ticker's still working.
Tom looks like $1 million. You never know what he's gone through to look at him.
He knows who I am.
Okay.
Oh, Tom knows who you are. Good.
I know who this did. Tell me the first name again.
Shirley.
Oh, yeah, I know who Shirley is.
Okay.
She has a home here and one up there.
Okay.
Now, when Shirley was talking, I was wondering. Now, she has rental property.
Right.
And she can take 100% of that.
Expense
related
to the
rental.
Taxes and everything.
Yes.
Can she rent a house from herself?
No.
I was trying
so
hard
much for that,
you,
Shirley. Tom's trying. He's trying for you. That was good.
You know, that was good, though. That's good thinking. Never thought of that. No,
I mean, if
no
you own property, you know, and you rent your own property.
That's self-dealing, and I don't think that goes.
I'm sorry, Shirley.
Now, what if you own this great big apartment building in downtown Manhattan and you've got 10,000 units and your name is Trump? Can't you write off one of those houses for yourself?
Well,
but if it's a rental, no, huh?
You make it your office.
Yeah,
make it your
office. He already makes his office, and he's getting a full deduction.
He's got an office on Pennsylvania Avenue.
The only issue is when it's your personal. Like if he's got an apartment in the Trump Tower,
right,
and that piece of it is his personal, the rules would apply to him on that personal piece.
Well, I only claim 2/3.
Oh, okay. So you're claiming 2/3 rental and 1/3 you're living
right
in? Yeah. Well, the
right
1/3 that you're living in, it would apply to that 1/3, the cap. So that
right
whatever's allocated, 1/3 of it comes into that $10,000 cap calculation.
Okay.
The other 2/3 would be 100% deductible against the rental income.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Shirley.
Oh, you're welcome,
call.
Shirley.
Bye-bye,
thanks
Shirley
for calling. Happy New Year.
Happy
God
New
bless
Year
you.
Shirley's a lovely lady. She's been to Israel with me on a couple of occasions.
Oh, very, nice. Good. Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Oh, yeah.
1-888-221-8990. There's going to be a whole lot of conversation about this tax code for the next few months. Let's face it, when they start, all the dust settles and they start to figure it out, be interesting.
I'd like to just clarify the clock a little bit as far as this is concerned. That for individuals, things will start on January 1st. In other words, you don't have to be concerned about the changes before 2018. The IRS has probably 10 months or so to come up with the new rules and the code, because individuals won't even get their...
Now, with one exception, as we've been talking about, there is planning opportunities for people who live in these states that have high property taxes. Okay. There are planning opportunities for them because they can accelerate those property taxes into this year when they can actually deduct them, as opposed to being capped at the $10,000 right. in 18.
Well, what I was referring to more of income, you know, the income part of your taxes, that it just... That'll start
as a general
rule,
it's going to be a general rule. You'd be defer your income and accelerate your expenses, but as a general rule, but it doesn't apply to everybody.
On the corporate situation,
okay,
what happens if a corporation fiscal year ends, let's say March 31st? Do they have 3 months where they get 21% on that income? And
I can only
months?
Tell you, I can only tell you what's happened in the past is that if your year started in during the year 17, that the 17 rules would apply to you.
Okay.
But I don't know what they're going to do with this. This is code. One of those things that they wait for the regulations to come
when
out
they finally get
before
them.
They get around to figuring out. They may only allow you to take the proportionate number of months in 17 and take that proportion to the whole thing and apply the rules to that portion. I don't know what they're doing. We don't know yet. But it's
going to be interesting to find out.
No doubt about it. Hey, you know, we're not going to be able to change it, but how it's interpreted, and here comes another problem. As you and I both know, the tax attorneys, there's going to be, I'm sure there'll be tests in court with things that are debatable, quote,
right,
depending on how it's all gone. I know you and I both know some tax attorneys that earn phenomenal amounts of money to go and argue in court with the Internal Revenue.
Oh, and the states. The other thing, yeah, and the states. They fight the states as well.
There are already lawsuits on the Obama mandate removal that it's unconstitutional to
remove
that. That's what their argument is.
Yeah,
we may go all the way to the Supreme Court.
Why not?
You know what? The Supreme Court is the one that allowed Obamacare to get in place in the first place by calling it a tax and not when it was sold as a non-tax. But that's a different issue. But you're right, and we didn't mention about the Obamacare
removal
because all it did is it removed the penalty for people.
Right, that's all it did.
I mean, you still have the health care in place. You just don't have the penalty if you don't have it.
What happened, the mandate said there had to be kids up to 26. You couldn't deny on pre-existing and all kinds of things that are in there. None of that's been removed. All they did was say they're not going to.
We're not going to penalize you if you don't have it. If you don't have the, you don't have the coverage.
Which insurance companies are going to be excited about that? And the Infernal is going to be excited about that. And, you know, that's obviously the beginning of some pretty radical change.
Well, you know, the budget. This had budget implications, which is why they wanted to remove it. Because for forcing people to buy the insurance the same time, depending on your income, the government was subsidizing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you had to buy it, but then the government was covering most of it. So what did that mean? The government was essentially paying for most of it.
Which the government is the taxpayers.
Right. And that's us.
That's us.
So what they said is, okay, you don't have to have the coverage now. And by the same token, we don't have to pay a subsidy either.
Well, I would guarantee you, if I could get my health insurance for $100 a month, mm-hmm. I love it.
We had a lady that was a friend of the station here who had heard for a long time how expensive the Obamacare was. She was 59 years old. She made less than $30,000 a year. And she had no insurance because everything she heard in the paper was you got to pay this deductible, you got to pay these big high premiums. But when she checked into it, she found out that she could get a pretty decent health care coverage that cost her nothing out of pocket because the government gave her a subsidy that covered the entire cost of the insurance. Right. Now, she does have a $6,500 deductible.
Right.
But she has protection. She has no premium. And she has protection that she knows that if something catastrophic happens, she's going to be total out of pocket maximum $6,500 instead of $250,000 or whatever
it was.
The incident might occur.
It's almost like giving a Medicare, except for Medicare, you still have a basic premium of $134 bucks a month, but you still have the high deductibles.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
The key is now there.
But you do have coverage.
Yes.
And with that plan, she gets a free health care check each year.
Right.
She has free mammograms, pap smears, and all kind of things that are free of no charge to her.
Including some drug
coverage. So, you know, when we look, you know, when you start looking into it, there are some benefits for some people.
Well, the key was this.
They would probably still be there.
And they're going to
be there. And they're still going to be there.
Right.
And one of the things that we've heard, you know, you hear that, you know, they're doing away with the subsidies. That subsidy is the payments directly to the insurance companies in addition to what they're paying on the premiums.
Exactly.
That's what's going away. The individual subsidies or the underwriting of the federal government for the individual not only is still there, but in many cases the amount that you're getting next year has increased for 2018. I know someone, they were paying $166 a month for him and his wife in 2017. For the same identical plan next year, their premium's $86.
Wow. That's pretty good.
All they do is gauge the income, and you have a window.
A window, right.
And you, based on that income.
The lower income you have, the more benefits you get.
The bad news is, if you didn't already sign up for it, too late. December 15th was the final day.
You're right. You're right about that.
Yeah, that's for that kind of plan. Hey, but you know, listen, this is going to be another battle that's not necessarily.
But you know, in the end, they're not going to deny coverage to anybody. I mean, if I say coverage, if you get sick, you have an emergency, you're going to go, and they're going to have to service.
Well, that's always been the law, period.
And if you don't have coverage, that somebody's paying for it. Either you are, or the government's going to pay for it.
I mean, reality is this, you know, and if you go into the emergency room, they can't say no. That's the rule.
All right.
Now, who pays for it? Taxpayers.
Well, that depends on the hospital, doesn't it?
Not necessarily. If in order to be a licensed hospital, you can't turn people away my understanding, you cannot turn people away in that emergency room. It's why a lot of very poor people, they only went to the emergency room because they couldn't be turned away. They went to a walk-in clinic, you had to pay. But here, they didn't have to. So
emergency rooms became their physicians, essentially.
Yeah, it became their primary physicians, and it's an abuse of the system. But our system is not perfect by any stretch.
But Obamacare took care of a lot of that.
Yeah.
With the way it's structured and the subsidies that are available to them.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, because that's
interesting. I guess the people who are earning
it's not sustainable. You know, long term.
Well, where's the money come from?
You know, money's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's our deficit spending again, which is a monster subject. And this tax reform, or whatever they want to call it, they're saying it's not millions, billions, it's trillion.
It's $1.5 trillion is the projection. I project it'll be more, and they won't be offset. It won't be offset entirely by economic growth. The studies have proven that over the years.
What they are hoping is that he's wrong, that the accountants are wrong, that the CPAs are wrong, that the economists are wrong, that if they get to this 4% GDP,
growth, there'll be enough
new business, new growth, new income, new taxes,
and that'll get
offset. And we'll see.
And what they're not talking about, Joe, which is a big part of the revenue base, is the tax on the 401k money that's going to be forced on people who are 70 and a half years old. They're going to have to start taking distributions out of there.
Right.
And that's taxable. It's all taxable.
Sure.
If it comes from an IRA, if it comes from a Roth, it's a different story. But they're not forced anyway.
No.
But the people who are forced are the 401k people,
or IRA,
403Bs,
right,
or all the different numbers.
Let's just do a quick one on that and explain that. What happens is, if you have any kind of retirement plan that has never been taxed, whether you put the money in or your employer put the money in, it may have different letters and numbers behind it. But the rules are, loosely, there are some minor exceptions, but basically the rule is, if you take the money out before age 59 and a half, you have to pay tax plus a 10% penalty.
If you take it out before 59
before age
and a half,
59 right. and a half.
Mm-hmm.
When you, after 59 and a half, you take any money out, it is subject to whatever your tax bracket is that year. When you turn 70 and one half, if you don't take money out, you're supposed to take out what they call the required minimum distribution, and that is now subject to your ordinary income tax rate. Now, this is not exact number, but roughly at 70 and a half, if you had $100,000 in a retirement account, you have to take out, give or take, $4,000.
$4,000 a year, roughly, right.
And then each year after that, it goes up a little bit. When you hit 90, you have to take out 10% of what's in the account. When you turn 115, you take your last dollar. But it's a formula the government has set for taking money out. So literally what Vince was leading into is that these people that are turning 70 and a half, which is a ton of baby boomers now.
Oh, yeah, well, it's 10,000 a day coming in. That means it's probably on the other end.
Yeah.
10,000 a day who are probably going to be eligible for for this.
So they're going to have to
absolutely
take.
Require minimum distribution. Minimum distribution. RMD. They call them RMDs, required minimum distribution.
Anyway, it's just one of the rules of life. Nothing.
But my point was, this is additional revenue stream coming into the government that nobody's been talking about. But
right.
I know about it. You know about it. Most people know about it. But they don't talk about it.
No.
But it's there.
They didn't change a thing on that.
No. So maybe they were planning that when that $1.5 trillion that they've estimated it's going to cost for the new tax law, maybe some of it's going to come back by way of taxes on
the. And also, R&D. Every dime of that is subject to ordinary income tax. It's not considered any other form.
So, it's not capital gains. It's all ordinary.
Ordinary. No matter what it's invested in, it makes no difference.
Doesn't matter.
It's ordinary. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Alan, I see you over there.
You know, when we talk about the deficit,
right?
To me, when our legislatures talk about the next generation is going to have to pay for it, to me, an increase in the deficit that manifests itself economically, usually with an increase in inflation. Which devalues the currency,
But it hasn't worked that way for the last almost 10 years.
Well, that's because the Fed, I think, has been keeping their
interest rates
down. Put off the accelerator on the interest
rates. Well, the other side of the coin is, though, we have not had inflation, according to the Fed.
No, not at least not on the producer level. You know, it's been pretty
so this
low.
Is almost everybody says this is way overdue, inflationary economy, because you can't keep going if it's a 3 or 4% GDP and assume there's not going to be any inflation, which this is kind of a false sense of security.
Yeah, because if you got that level of economic activity, then there's going to be disjointness, if you, that's
no
a
doubt
word,
about it.
That where the goods produced are not going to equal the demand. You're going to have that much
similar.
More demand.
You know, I love government. I don't know. did you get a letter? Did you get a letter from Social Security?
Oh, yeah, my big raise?
Yeah, 3%, I mean, was it?
I love it. They start out the first sentence, you are getting a 2% increase of living.
However.
And then they don't even tell you in print. They just put it where your monthly Medicare payment has gone up by $25. So in essence,
instead
of a 2% raise, you're getting a 0.5% raise.
Well, it depends. If you're only getting $800 a month, you get $160 more a month. No, it didn't even mean it. $16 a month, and your Medicare premium went up
25.
You took a negative.
That's
right. You actually got a hit.
Yeah.
Well, if you're on Medicare, I guess we have a lot to feel blessed about, you know.
You know, I didn't realize how popular I was turning 65.
You are?
Yeah,
they're all after you, are they?
They're after you now.
You know, I've got at least a dozen solicitations people wanting to talk to me about Medicare.
Everybody knows.
Oh, I'm sure.
What happens is the first time you turn, forget the old rules, if you can only get in during a certain period of time, you can buy a Medicare supplement anytime. You don't have any rules at all. So it's everybody in the world, whether it's an HMO or PPO or a supplement, whatever it might be, you're open for the wolves. Everybody wants to get a piece of you.
Yeah. Well, I got one letter said that they were the only company that could do it 6 months out, that everybody else is held to writing the plans 3 months out. Is that true?
No, not that I know of. Not
when you say, well, the way it's written now, you're talking about how far in advance of 65?
How far in advance of 65?
You can do it up to 90 days before.
That's what most companies, but this company said
that's the Medicare rules. That's not an insurance company rule.
But this company, said that they were authorized by Medicare to let you go ahead and sign up 6 months out.
That means they just got 3 months premium from you that you're probably not even covered.
Maybe you can sign up, but you don't pay. That's another thing.
And then some of them, they require payment, and some of them, there's no additional payment other than your regular
Medicare.
But I don't know. That payment might be correct, but it sounds incorrect to me. What I've researched on Medicare.
Right.
With all the research I've done, 90 days is the earliest you can do it before your 65th birthday.
HMOs and PPOs, basically Medicare gives a check once a year, once a month, once a quarter to the
provider.
HMO or the provider. You then keep paying your $135 a month unless you fall below the threshold, and sometimes you don't pay anything. You'll get that $135 back.
Oh, I don't think there's a threshold. I think it's whether you have this...
it's income. If you're below a certain...
Well, I think they might be. It might be if you're below the poverty
line. Below the
poverty
line.
Maybe you don't pay anything.
Because some of them will tell you they can give you... You heard the ads. You can get a check back for $1,000 a year per person if you qualify. And you pay nothing because they give you back the money that was paid in on the Medicare premium out of your Social Security check.
Interesting.
If you're below. Yeah, it's a...
That's it. The Medicare rules and Social Security rules are more complex than even the income tax rules.
Yeah.
If you go in and look at them and how they're designed, even how they calculate your benefit.
Now, do you need to go to the Social Security office to sign up for it, or do you...
No, you can do it online, actually. You can do it online. You open up an account. You can do it anytime the 90 days of your birthday. You open up go to socialsecurity.gov, and you SS.gov, and you go in there and open up an account. It's going to ask you information in a bank account. They want verification of who you
are. You're private. You got to give them a password. Now you have your official, you are there.
So you get there and you open up this account, and what happens is that'll populate with all your benefits in there to begin with. When you turn 60, your normal retirement age, what you'll have. But there's a place there to sign up for Medicare. And so you'll do it online. You can fill out the form. I've done it myself. Fill out the form.
Or you can go in physically.
You can go physically. They'll help you fill it out if you go to Social Security. But if you're computer savvy and you're not afraid of it, you can do it online. You can do it online.
I had a client of mine, actually a WCNO listener, lives down in Palm Beach, and he never got his Medicare card in the mail, and he's turned 65. And I said, I've never heard of such a thing. So he couldn't get an appointment with Social Security office down there. They were backed up. He went and sat there, got there an hour before they opened, sat in line for another hour before he got in, and he finally got into the Medicare system. But the key was he got somehow or other missed in the system, and he had to push the system to get him in. They'll do it. They're not going to deny
it. I think you get it's 90 days before, and I think 120 days after your 65th birthday, where is that window.
You
have to register in that window. If you don't, then there's a penalty associated with that.
Well, if you register during that window, then you're guaranteed coverage.
Right.
For pre-existing conditions.
Right.
If you don't register during that window, then you can maybe still get coverage, but it'll be at a higher premium because you did not get in during that window.
They have these groups, they call them, by age, and they have a certain rate for that age group. And as you keep getting older, that's still your group.
Right.
So there's all kinds of little rules. But the reality is this, with the month you turn 65, you're on Medicare, and if you didn't get your card before the month prior, you better get a hold of Social Security.
And another side note is that if you are on the Affordable Care Act and you turn 65 and you go on to Medicare, you have to, by law, let the Affordable Care Act people know that you're now on Medicare.
Exactly.
So that they stop
paying the subsidy, right? It's illegal because you're getting two coverages essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
You got two policies, and you can't have two policies when you're under Medicare. You can only have Medicare.
It's just the rules.
Or a Medicare supplement.
Yeah. The key thing is the month before you turn 65, if you don't have your Medicare card in the mail, call up Social Security and go get it. Or have do it online, like you said. But
well, they don't automatically send it to you.
No, you have to apply for it, John.
Mine was sent automatically. Mm-hmm. Now, that's that was a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, but what was that, 30 years ago, John?
At least 30, maybe 40.
They sent that and his walker the same day.
Where is my walker now that I'm worried about it? Oh, yeah, you stole it.
Yeah, I'm using it.
1-888-221-8990. This has been kind of a chronic pain for me. And I say a pain for me. It's more painful. It hurts me to see people get into these, quote, index annuities.
Mm.
And, Alan, we were talking a little bit about it. I have it happen constantly where people will come up and say, well, I've got this, and it's supposed to do this. And they say, let me look at it. Then I say, boy, one fellow, in fact, he was a regular listener here. I said, you know, what's going to happen is before I leave, you're going to throw up. Because what you're going to learn, what you have, is not what you think you have. And what I normally do, I don't give them my opinion. I call the company up directly that they have, and I know the questions to ask, and I'm given permission by you, the insured, to ask the questions, but we have them on a speakerphone, and we ask the questions. So one of the things that happens, the index annuity is a fixed annuity. Fixed means it pays an interest rate. You're not in the stock market, period. Now, they often say in these index annuities that we are going to pay you interest according to an index, which is in the stock market, like the S&P 500. That's an index. That's 500 of America's biggest companies. It could be the Dow, which is 30. Could be the NASDAQ 100. Pick an index. Could be a bond index. There's numbers of indexes. Those indexes can be copied, and that may be how they calculate how you get paid. But I have never seen one, and as long as I've been doing this, I have never seen one that pays you all the money that the index makes. Every one of them has things called, we either average every month. Now, if you add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and divide by 2, you get 6 or 7. So what happens when they average automatically at the end of the year, if it went from, let's say, 1,000 to 1,200, that's a 20% growth. But if they averaged it, it may only be a 10% growth. That's one. Two, very often these things put in caps, C-A-P-S, caps. And they say, the index may have grown 10%, but we have a cap of 2 or 3%.
Mm. So no matter how well the index does, you can never do better than that.
You can never do better. But they also have a floor, and the floor might be 1, 1.5, pick a number. The key thing that I have never to this date been in anybody's home and had anybody show me these contracts that understood they had a cap. These are called errors of omission. They were not told that there's a cap. They were said they can share in the growth of the index. But understand this, it's a fixed annuity. Fixed annuities are not invested in the stock market. The way the monies are paid to the insurance company are via the bond market. Bonds are basically 2 and 3 and 4% instruments.
So let me understand this, Joe. So you're saying what's supporting your investment in that fixed annuity is the insurance company investing in bonds.
Right.
So that's what's supporting your investment.
Yeah.
So in a sense, you're investing in the bond market.
Essentially, you're investing in the bond market. Okay. So what the insurance company has to do, they have to make a profit. So let's say they gross 4% in the bond market, and they take one, most they can pay you is 3. I mean, they can't stay in
business. So this is really good security for the insurance company. For that 1% guarantee they're giving you,
they're
capping you on the other end.
They're capping you on the other
end. So they'll be willing to take the risk of paying you that 1% if they're not earning anything.
Yeah.
But they're going to get it back on the other side if the thing goes through the roof.
What you have to be is extremely cautious whenever you see the word index annuity. Now, there's been tons and tons of adverse publicity. There are multiple class action lawsuits going all over America and some very big companies. One company, I understand, let go 100,000 agents.
Wow.
In this class action because
they didn't inform the investors.
They didn't inform. So the insurance company has got a product out there that's approved to be sold in the community, which is never, I've never understood how states approve them, because I have never to this date found anybody that understood what they've got. The only reason I'm bringing this up, twice this week, two times. One was today and I didn't have enough time. I'm going to go back next week because it's going to take me a couple of hours to get on the phone and go through and to try to get these people to understand what they've got. But what I'm saying is anybody that has such a vehicle, not that you can afford to get out of it, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't, but you, to understand what you've got and what you're going to do with it, I think is important. So, and that's my job, is to educate, period. Make sure you understand what you've got. And the way we do it, I know the questions to ask. We call up the company with you on the phone, and we ask the questions. You make a notes. You tell them. They can show you in your contract where it's at, which pages and stuff, because these people at the home offices, they know their stuff, and they're not going to lie to you. Their job is salaried people, and they're not on a commission.
Well, let me ask you something, Joe. You mentioned vehicle. It brings it to mind. It's sort of like a vehicle recall to me. If there's a defect in the product, right, or a defect in the presentation of the product, right, is it incumbent upon either the agent or the financial advisor that sold them that product to tell them, by the way, you have this thing in here? Do you know
legally
about that?
They're supposed to do that?
Yeah, what if they don't? You're a client, you're going to do it with them. What if there's some financial advisor that doesn't go back to tell their client?
You know what?
That?
It's not only a legal problem. It's a problem of using common words that you think you know the meaning of. When Jill gave me the opportunity to join the show, we, for about a month or so, were going around because I was saying, what's wrong with index annuities?
Right.
Because I thought index annuities were these annuities that followed the index of the stock market and you would participate in like a significant growth. It took me about a month to realize that what Joe was talking about was a variable annuity versus an index annuity, right, that's capped.
See, what happens, right, is index is fixed. They can only pay you an interest rate. You are not in the market. But they say, we're going to pay you according to this index. But now we're going to add a wrinkle. The way we look at the index is not to pay you 100% of the growth point to point every year and lock it in. We don't do that. We have wrinkles. And we have smoke and mirrors as far as I'm concerned. And I've talked to some of my compliance people in California, and I said, how in the world can states approve these things? And behind the scenes, they say, Joe, we don't know. But what happens is they are approved. They are legal instruments. Can they work? The answer is yes. Will they work?
These are sold primarily through insurance companies.
Only through insurance companies.
Only through
insurance. Annuities only come out of insurance companies. But remember this, there's different types of annuities. A pure fixed, it could be, say, 5 years, we're going to pay you 3% every year, 5 years, that's it. That's pretty simple, like a CD. Or if it's an index, we may pay you, quote, according to the growth of the S&P 500, but very often what's forgotten is to say, but we have a cap of 3% and a bottom of 1. Guarantee of 1, cap of 3.
So the most you would make on that would be 3%.
Right. So literally, if you understood this up front, it's okay. If you understood what you were getting into, and there comes my thing, it's people that don't understand them. Some of them say, the only way you ever collect is if you annuitize. Annuitize means you have to set up a pension. You have to, at a certain point, you can now set up a life income where you're going to get a check every month for the rest of your life. That's the only way you get to gains on some of these contracts. I've seen that rarely explained properly. I had another fellow said, hey, Joe, they're paying me 6%. And I said, show me that. He showed it to me, and I says, what does it say there? He says, it says they're paying me a 6% factor.
6% factor?
Factor.
What is that?
Okay, they took the money that he put in it. They're going to pay him 6% a year of that back, but he's spending his own money based on his age. It had nothing to do with growth.
But how does the factor fit in?
What's 6% of 100,000?
That's 6,000, but
okay,
what is
divided
the factor?
By 12, $500 a month.
Right.
You're going to get that for the rest of your life or until it runs out.
But isn't it tantamount to an interest rate?
No.
No, because they'll pay it to you whether they're earning it or not.
Right.
So it means you could be paying yourself principal.
But it runs out. If all of a sudden you outlive the money, you go broke.
Right, exactly.
There's no money.
So it's not interest on your principal.
No.
It's a guarantee. It's like these mortgages in the old days, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they have these variable mortgages?
Oh, big time.
Where you could pay in whatever you wanted?
Yeah.
Sure, if it was less than what you were required to, they added it to principal. This is the reverse of that.
There are so many different wrinkles out there that people need to learn, and I could spend hours and days going through these different ones. And if I had every different company that does these things and I laid them out in front, I saw one where the fellow says, Joe, this works for me because I'm not going to touch it for 15 years and now I'm going to get a pension. And this particular one gave him a pension based on that amount. And he said, hey, I know exactly what it's going to do. I know I can't touch it for 15 years. And I said, if you're okay with that, then it's okay. But understand, he was the only one I've ever seen that could figure out the smoke and mirrors, and it worked.
Well, you know, it's interesting because with that scenario, what somebody's saying that buys in, I don't really care that much. I need this money so much every month.
Yep.
I'm willing to take the risk that I'm going to run out in 15 years.
Yeah,
I'm willing to take that risk because I need that money now.
There you go.
So if that works for them,
if it works. So you just have
to have to explain it to them.
The key is this: people have to understand it, or it's the responsibility of the agent to make them understand the good and the bad. It's not one of those things you can cash in anytime and take your profit.
You're right.
So and I'm not saying this is 100% of the time, but literally anybody that has certain instruments like that, I'm glad to sit down with them and call the companies up and ask the questions, make up an outline on one page that's simple so they can understand the good news and the bad news.
Well, wouldn't they kind of get a clue if they get a statement that shows that their principal balance is less this year than it was last year?
Well,
don't they get a clue that they're, why is it going down?
Well, here it comes. Once they start taking that income. But a lot of times people try to read these statements, and you know, you're in the business of reading statements.
Right.
Not everybody's in the business of
reading
statements.
So maybe they don't look at it, or maybe it's...
It confuses them.
Confusing.
Hey, listen, when I was at this home today, these are educated people.
I can barely understand my cell phone bill.
Well, that's pretty complicated.
Well, you know what?
You need a master's degree in telephony.
AT&T. I think they do that on purpose to us, right? Well, we're just about out of time, folks. You haven't called, but anytime you want to talk to us, you call the radio station anytime. Talk to Pastor Tom or Karen or Pastor Dave. They'll take your name and number and have us call you, and we'll help you any way we can. Remember what we've got. We've got Vince Rizzino, CPA. We've got Greg Fasula, attorney. We've got Joe Martek, financial advisor. We got Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. We got Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. I think that's the rest of us.
How about Dan?
Dan
Warren,
Dan.
Don't forget Dan.
Dan just ripped right through.
And by the way, thank you, Dan. I did receive a call from a referral that you gave my name to.
And he is, in my not too humble opinion, the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. What makes him that? Under his umbrella, he's got roughly 100 companies. So we were talking about that this morning on the other radio show, that if one company falls out of favor, he then has 8 or 10 or 15 other companies that you might qualify for.
And he knows a lot about insurance, too.
Big time. Big time. Only 38 or 40 years in business. You know.
Oh, absolutely. He's the best.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Toll free from any
place. Anywhere you can hear this.
Joe, I just think we should take a few seconds to thank the audience for being with us in 2017 and wish them all the best, and hopefully the Lord will shine upon all of us in 2018.
And amen to that.
Hey,
God bless everybody out
there. That's what we're looking for, is to stay alive for one more year.
That's right.
Wait a minute, I just want one more trip to the Bahamas, then he can cash me. I ask him for that every year.
One more trip, and then you can cash me out.
And on the way back, I say, listen, can I punch this up one more year? All right, folks.
Yes.
Are we wounding down, or we have 30
well,
seconds?
Well, you've got a little seconds. More than actually 30 seconds, but well, I thought I'd get you out of here early today.
This is the early release program.
All right, now, you have
now we got 30 seconds.
There we seconds. Go.
Other than that, we do want to thank everybody very much for having a wonderful year, and we've loved being. We've been doing these radio shows since 2004 or thereabouts, as far as we can remember, and it's been very gratifying for everybody on the team. And Alan being a special guest now for over a year.
That's right.
That's right.
And he's more. Hey, you know, he and I are ones that always show when you pretty much Vince down here.
Not pretty much. I'm here. I think I missed one show the whole year.
Well, you don't know how to count.
Maybe two.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program.
Until next week, thank you so much.
The Team Martek program is a paid program.
Stop.
The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM.